Say, Father, as one body. The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
This word will not return void.
This word will not return void.
We release healing.
We release healing.
In the spirit.
In the spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Body.
Body.
And the mind.
And the mind.
The emotions.
The emotions.
And the will.
And the will.
This word.
This word.
Is being released.
Is being released.
To Bob Arnold.
And Charles Harvey,
according to your promise, you sent out your word.
We're sending it out now.
It will not return void.
God will produce the fruit
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, how many of you thought we lost our marbles? We did a long time ago. We don't want them back either. Then we'd be normal like everybody else in the earth and all kinds of problems. So if you receive the word from the Lord, yes. There you go, Pete.
Well, after you anointed me and I fell back, I felt completely weightless, as if all the stress and all the anxiety that I've been feeling for the past few weeks just lifted off of me. And the Lord showed me a vision of myself floating through a field of stars.
So you were floating with the stars?
That's correct.
What made you come back? I would have stayed out there. No, I'm teasing.
Ended.
I'm stealing people.
The vision ended. It was just a continuous loop.
Good. Very good. Anyone else? Wayne.
I was in a meeting house, a meeting room. I entered it, and there was a few people there, and it was like the meeting was just getting ready to start. And that's as far as it went.
All right. Cool. So you're going to be definitely pressed in there, huh? That's cool.
Wayne, I'm sorry, I missed it. What happened in the meeting room?
It was just the meeting. There was had a few people in there, and it was just like it was getting ready to start.
Okay.
That was it.
Sorry.
Okay, Deborah.
At the beginning, when we first started the service, I saw these Sealy sheets.
Huh? The ceiling sheets?
Sealy. S-E-A.
Yeah?
Sealy sheets.
Okay.
For the mattresses.
Yes.
Don't ask me. But that's what I saw was those sheets.
Sleeping on a cloud, yes. I used to sell Sealy, for your information. And I did sleep on a cloud.
Okay.
Go for it. The Sealy sheep.
Yeah, and then right after I saw them, I saw a picture made of greenish blue clay. It was like the water pitchers that the Amish have, but theirs are decorative. This was just a greenish bluish
clay
pitcher.
Yeah.
Big bottom, you know, and it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back again with the pictures. I kept seeing the Star of David. I saw a cross, and when I was praying for Mary, I saw the front end of a rowboat sitting in the water.
Okay.
And that's it.
Anyone else? Mary Jo. Oh, okay.
Come on now.
Go for it, girl.
Come on. It's been a while since I've had the visions, because I've had pretty much the same ones with a variety. This one didn't have any person in it, or the vision I saw with the wings or the eagle. There wasn't any animals or person in it at all. But this particular, this was exceptionally bright lights. I've seen the ones with the colors, but this was like the brightest I have ever seen. And it kept going. Oh, down here. Ugh. Okay. It kept going up. And again, that big hole that opened up, because it's been in visions before, the big hole, and then the light just comes right out of it and goes up. When Mary was here laying her hand on my hand, I had this pain in my hand. It all of a sudden felt like prickly, dit, 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 and then all of a sudden, absolutely nothing. That it was just felt wonderful. And that's it.
Spain. That's great.
Yeah.
So healing in the hand. No pain.
No pain.
I had one vision, and the vision was of an eagle soaring. This eagle was high up above, and the Lord was telling me that that was me. And that as the eagle soars above and is able to see below what it needs and swoops down, that as I come to that place of soaring, I will be able to see and
yes.
do.
Heavenly visions.
When I was praying over Sven and for Bob Arnold, what I was seeing was I was at the church of the multiplication of loaves and fishes.
Cool.
That we were at, so I just spoke the word that
yep.
Lord, you're going to multiply.
Multiply.
Because that was what was coming in. That this will
cool.
be a multiplication.
Excellent. Mary Jo.
I saw two chandeliers, two gold chandeliers. Nobody, just two gold chandeliers. But then I was sitting on a tablecloth. On the ground, playing the game of life with two rabbis.
You gotta say L'chaim.
Huh?
You gotta say L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Whatever. And I just want to share this, Kim, with you because I just think it's so funny. Since you're talking about the Lord waking you at 20 minutes of four. My two youngest granddaughters stay with me at night when Beth works. One is in my bed, and one is on the floor beside us
mm-hmm.
in a kid-sized blown-up mattress, which we just purchased for her.
Love.
And this mattress dips down a little bit.
Yeah.
She's absolutely, she's adorable, but she's just full of it. 20 minutes of four this morning.
Oh.
She's sitting up on this inflated mattress saying, Mimi, look at me, I'm rowing the boat.
I love it.
I said, Juliana, you lay down. When you said that, I just thought of all. And the granddaughter that's in the bed with me looks at me and says, Mimi, really?
I love it.
I just think that was really funny.
Great. Next to you.
Oh, sorry.
Peggy.
I was in that vision that I had on Sunday where I went into the room that was filled with the light.
Yeah.
And this time, it's just a sense that there was an angel on each side of me. And I still had that sense that I was floating.
Yeah.
And they were like floating with me. And I sensed that they were kind of guiding me around this room. There was no distinguishable person, just a knowing that there were a presence of people there.
Yeah.
The only thing that I could actually see again was this white desk, and I'm not sure what that is all about, but there was nobody at the desk, but I saw that again. And then I had said that there was Hebrew writing over the doorway.
Yes.
Well, I believe the Lord was saying that it says, that scripture that says, occupy till I come.
Occupy till I come.
And of course, right away, I thought of that room at Pinecrest. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if I said this, but when I was going around and feeling the presence of those people, it was like the angels were introducing me to them.
Yes.
You're nodding like you know what I'm talking about. I have no idea. And
it's your coming out party.
My coming out party. That's why I was wondering when I... That's why I asked you, because it was almost like, well, this is connected. And then what I heard was, it was a holding area.
Oh, a holding area.
A holding area. So I don't know what that means.
Right, broke the lawn, they put you in there.
Yeah, right.
Could be purgatory. No.
There's no such thing.
Anyone else? I think Wayne had something, or did you? No. Okay. I saw your hand, but that's why. Okay. Back. Linda.
This is from Psalm 4, verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. And I'm just adding that we were created for Jesus, and we were created by him. And go down to verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And then Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Just like we are tonight about Bob and Charles. Then verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them.
Amen.
That those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield.
Cool.
I was getting graham crackers, cinnamon, then it was something white. It could be marshmallow fluff or whipped cream. I don't know.
Fluff!
Possibly a pie. I don't know.
Okay.
When Deborah was praying, I saw insects flying around, and I was told that these insects were not harmful. Some insects cause diseases like malaria, equine encephalitis, and other diseases, but these insects do just the opposite. They are being used to bring healing to people.
Hmm, okay.
Then I saw an old-fashioned red and white barbershop pole.
Yeah.
Someone is having financial problems. I guess they're barbers, I'm not sure. And God is going to increase their finances.
Okay.
I saw a crab apple tree growing on a college campus. And I was told it blossoms and brings forth fruit. But what kind of fruit is it? The crab apple.
Hmm. Thank
and
you.
And the last one was, I saw you, Maureen, and I saw a heart, and I saw a dog.
Do you have a pooch, girl? No? Okay. There's a love for dog?
I used to have He used to have dreams about God.
Really? Wayne, pray double. Okay, Mary.
This is for Terry when I was praying over. Well, I wasn't praying over her. Deborah was praying over her.
Yeah.
And when she was done, the Lord had me go and unlock a key like Gail's, but this I didn't see the plate.
Yeah.
For the locket, but her key was horizontal, and I had to move it vertical.
Yeah.
And her key was silver.
Silver, salvation. Okay, very good. Anyone else? Sammy?
So, I received one vision, and I did hear a word. When I first saw this vision, first thing that came out of my mouth was, Satan, get thee behind me.
Okay.
And I prayed. And then the instruction came, so I'm going to say it.
Yep.
And it connects. I saw a black cross that was wooden with a bloody crucified Christ on it.
Uh-huh.
When I saw the cross / body, it was overwhelmingly bloody and exaggerated, and I felt the spirit of fear. I saw two humanoid creatures of darkness who were all black, and they were holding up this cross, and they were behind it as if to try and hide. This was when I said, Satan, get thee behind me. And I closed my eyes and I began to pray in the spirit. I knew this was wrong and this was not Christ. And when I looked at the image, the eyes were made out of almost like porcelain, like a sculpture.
Yep.
So I began to pray in the spirit with my eyes closed out loud. And I saw that image come closer to me as I prayed in the spirit. And those two creatures were trying to push it closer, forward and forward, and it looked like it was heavy. I continued to pray in the spirit as the Lord told me to continue, and when I opened my eyes, it was gone. Later on, the real image of Christ appeared in that same exact spot, and I had overwhelming peace, and I was happy, and I was glad I knew the difference. And as we were being obedient, and we were praying with both of you on the floor, I saw an image of me playing the xylophone. And so I asked the Lord, you know, if this was meant to be. He said yes, so I went over and I was obedient. And when I had played the final note, I was going to go be seated. The Lord told me to play because I was the musician of the house and I was needed to pray there. So I did. I stayed and I prayed. That's all I got.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? It's important to remember that when God puts something in our hearts, there's a purpose that doesn't always make sense at the moment. And I'm sure that as you continue to trust, as the Holy Spirit is pressing us forward, He has a plan, and it's very, very easy to discern once you've already picked up all the pieces to the puzzle. But as the puzzle is being put together, it's quite a challenge because you can't really make it out. You don't have a box and a picture of the box to look at. You've got pieces. So be patient with what God is building. So I want to take you for a moment to Genesis chapter 11. And while I was in the spirit over there, I did hear the connection. So we're going to go to the connection afterwards. Genesis 11, verse 1. The Tower of Babel is the heading on the NIV. And it says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They said to each other, they are not interested in God. They're talking to each other. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we might make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. What ended up happening?
They were scattered.
So their own prediction fell back in their faces because they were judging God. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. I want to give you one of those interpretations. Susan, what you saw is an open heaven where the light of Christ is coming down upon you. And it is fixed on you. If that vision is for you, it's to remind you that every time you pray, the heavens are open to receive your words and your heart. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the towers that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible to them. Nothing they plan to do. Does that mean that you and I can plan to do on our own? Oh, yes. Could we corporately pray for what we want in this house of prayer?
Oh,
absolutely. What do you think would happen?
Nothing.
The Lord would come down. Something would happen. Don't underestimate prayer. I can tell you this, and I'm not hesitating on this one, because I heard it directly from Rick Joyner. One of the very first things that he had to do when PTL was restored, it was closed down for 10 years. The first demonic principality that they asked God to pull down was the spirit of Christian witchcraft. What does that mean? Christians praying what they want instead of God's plan. That is no different than the Tower of Babel. The same spirit was then, and it has invaded the church, and you don't look at the church today and see harmony. All you see is what?
Division.
That's right, division. What is God after?
Unity.
Unity, harmony, and one voice. The voice of the Spirit, not the voice of
man.
That's right, not the voice of man. See, and when we act on our own, what are we doing? We're selfishly praying something into existence because we want it. And that is a form of witchcraft. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 2, because that's what I heard. Acts chapter 2. I want to amplify one part of the verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You got the amplified? Who's got the amplified? Because I didn't bring it up. Go ahead, read it nice and loud.
Just the verse.
Verse.
And when the day of Pentecost had fully come.
Hold it right there. The NIV says, when the day of Pentecost came, had fully come, was not in the NIV. It is in the King James. Why did they pull that one out?
Because it hasn't come yet.
Oh, yes. The day of Pentecost has fully come. On that day, it was the first time that they were able to celebrate Pentecost because it was now in order. It just took 4,000 years from Adam. Okay?
So that was really the birth of the church.
That's the birth of the church. But it had to come on the day appointed by God. That's what I'm pressing in. Okay? Now, there's a day of tabernacles coming, fully ordained of God. Has it happened yet?
No.
Has it fully come? No. So, what that tells you is the feasts of God, Passover, Pentecost, those are realities that have already fully been accomplished by Jesus. The other celebrations in the fall have not yet been manifested fully. They will be. So I'm kicking that in so that you can see something else. Then it says they were all together in one place. What's the Amplified say?
They were all assembled together in one place.
Do you think they were of one mind?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and were filled with the whole house where they were sitting. You see, the Lord put them together, but in Acts chapter 1, he showed them that they needed to be in one accord. Okay? So, what am I really saying to you? Genesis 11. They were already in one accord. They were harmonizing. They wanted to prove to God that they were just as powerful as they could be. The church sometimes does the same thing without the authority of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Why do you think we take so much time to release the visions that come? Because they build on each other. It's like that puzzle that I shared with you. Many, many times you're going to see a little piece come, another little piece come, 2 weeks goes by, all of a sudden somebody else gets the same message. What happens inside of you when somebody knows it's connecting to what I saw?
The Holy
Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit will confirm it to you, and you'll know, wow, that connects with what God showed me. Amen? How many can say amen?
Amen.
So, what is God doing? Sometimes he may give you a dream weeks and months later. And all of a sudden you say, oh my God, this is already building. He gave me a dream this morning. The dream was connected to something I really didn't want to see. It was darkness, garbage. Okay? And I was fighting against it. I got up, wrote down the dream. As I'm writing the dream, instantly I can see and remember another dream that I had a few weeks ago where there were negative spirits running after me and they wanted me dead. And I said, oh, okay, God, I got the message. What did I do? Responded. Responded with my mouth open, not with thoughts. Responded with words and declared the word. And all the rest of the day, God was freeing me up. Why?
Because you brought it to light.
I waited for the instructions and then I did as I was told. The day of Pentecost has already come, and we now are waiting not only for the next level, but verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Were they all now speaking the same language?
Yes.
Why is there such a war against the Spirit in the churches? They like their independence and they advertise their own wares. I'm sorry. That's not being probably very...
Oh, you don't have to be sorry. I get it.
All right? How many of you know that one denomination says we're the only ones and the other one on the other side of the street says we're the only ones? That makes them both wrong.
The only one that's really the Redeemer is our Lord. Okay? And that's the bottom line. And he's not religious. He's full of compassion and grace and favor, and he will set captives free. Whether they are blind, whether they are deaf and dumb, whether they're stuck in any kind of immorality, he wants them free. Amen. And he doesn't want us to be judging them or condemning them. He wants us to love them back to what? Life. You start speaking life to a person who's stuck in perversion. What's going to happen? Give them more acceptance. Give them more grace. Give them more love. And what happens? Why are you loving me? I can't even love myself. Got it? How did you get drawn in? The power of love and acceptance. The power of love and acceptance will heal and set free those that are in captivation. It doesn't matter what label you got on them. It doesn't matter the label they got on themselves. What matters is you and I are in harmony, speaking the same language as heaven is speaking. And as we speak that heavenly language, the harmony and the ability of God to work through us to bring salvation to those that are broken is on target, and it will not return void. Close your eyes. I just heard it's done. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you that we are in one accord.
I thank you that we are in one accord.
There will be signs and wonders.
There will be signs and wonders.
They're starting even now.
They're starting even now.
We feel some of them already. And we want more.
And we want more.
We're jealous for more.
We're jealous for more.
And we give you the praise.
And we give you praise.
The glory and the honor.
Take us home.
Reveal more.
Reveal
more. We're not satisfied.
We want visions.
We want dreams.
Words of knowledge.
Instructions to do.
Instructions.
And the grace to carry it out.
And the grace to carry it out.
In Jesus' name we pray. And if you don't share any love with each other, you're the one that's going to go home starved.